Welcome to the Best Science Medicine Podcast, BS without the BS.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 334th episode of the Best Science Medicine Podcast.
Ho, 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 Mike.
That's right, James. Ho, ho, holy cow, is there a lot of research around Santa Claus? This is like the other...
Yeah, you have to introduce yourself, because otherwise people think you're Santa.
Oh, I have played that role, actually, when I was 18, but let's not... in a long-term care facility for the elderly who were very demented.
I would have paid a lot of money to see them sitting on your lap.
The first gift that I handed out, I got vomited on for my Santa suit. I used to love to play Santa. I don't know. I did it all the time from about age 18 onward at this long-term care facility in a mental, associated with a mental hospital. These were very demented people, but I would go around and a couple funny things happened. But the worst of all was when I handed a small box of chocolates to a very elderly lady, and she leaned over and vomited all down in front of my suit.
Which is why you are the appropriate person to lead us through this topic.
I'm not sure that we introduced ourselves. So I'm Mike Allen. I'm a family doctor and a professor in the Department of Family Medicine at U of A. And no one knows who you are, James.
Oh, I didn't introduce myself either. This is a disaster.
I know. You're Rudolph. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm James McCormack with the Faculty of Pharmaceutical Sciences at the University of British Columbia. And my nose is flashing red at this very moment. It might be the alcohol.
I was going to say.
Or the rosacea.
It could be either one. So we're going to try and tell you about research that has been done around Santa Claus. Now, this won't be any geographic research or I recall when I was young watching NORAD plot Santa's course across down from the North Pole. But that we won't be involving that. We're going to talk about things that may relate to taking care of kids and maybe even taking care of each other. Yeah, so the question...
I don't think we're going to get into the debate of whether he is fictional or not, because you can't really disprove that.
And I don't think it's worthy of disproving.
No, exactly.
It's a truth.
Yeah.
It's a truth. So you don't try and... you may try and disprove gravity, but it's always going to win in the end. So let's talk about, there's a few things that came up when I looked up the research around Santa Claus. And one of the first things was, is Santa linked to kindness? And so there's a couple of interesting studies. This one was done in Denmark and is only available in Danish. So thank goodness for Google Translate. It's like a gift, really. Mm-hmm. James, Google Translate, it's like a gift. Nothing there, eh? Nothing.
No, I got nothing. It was a good segue. But I didn't, I didn't want to make you, feel like you were really doing a good job.
even at Christmas, you're not going to throw me a bone. Nothing. Okay.
A bunch of coal.
Pardon?
I'm going to put coal in your stocking.
Like every year.
So does Santa help us to be kinder?
So, yeah, there's a couple studies that have addressed this, and both of them are relatively cute. The first one is done in adults, and it was a Danish study. And again, like I said, it was a gift that I could find Google Translate, and I'll still get nothing from you for that. So moving on, they took a guy who was could, at a reasonable guess, look a little bit like the traditional model of Santa Claus. And they dressed this guy in two ways, one as Santa and another one as a doctor in a lab coat, etc. And then they had this guy read a story, and the story was just basically a made-up story. And they asked a bunch of questions like, is it truthful and blah, blah, blah. And the sample size is quite small, so most of them didn't really reach statistical significance, although generally Santa scored better in most things. But the one way he did just reach statistical significance was in the rating of kindness. So they found that Santa was slightly kinder than a doctor, or was rated as kinder. 9.2 out of 10 versus 8.7. So not a dramatic difference, but...
And this is with adults.
This is with adults, yeah. Adults interpreting a story and whether he was believable reading the story and whether the story was believable, etc. And they all trended to favor Santa, but this one was the one that reached statistical significance. Now, Mike Kolber, who helped work on this a bit, just like you did, James, and everything, asked the important question, what is the minimally important difference for kindness? The minimal clinically important difference, if you like. We could not find that, but
no,
really,
you'd have thought you could, but apparently not.
No, but when you reflect on it, James, isn't it true that every little bit of kindness matters?
Every little bit of kindness counts, Mike. Whether it's, you know, and I'm not saying anything, but I'm thinking if we revert kindness to a scale out of 10, I think we've actually lost something.
Not for research, buddy.
No,
you never lose research.
Yeah.
The next one was a really interesting, very cute little study, and it took 25 first graders. They took actually one or two grades younger, and I'll just say that no matter what you do with them, they're never kind.
No.
They're never generous. But these little first graders, what they did is they asked them to describe a story, and the kids were randomized to either talk about Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, or one of their pets or a pet that they would like to have. And after they told the story, they were given, and the people, no matter what the quality of the story was, the people who were doing this with the kids, and it was individual kids alone, would say, that was a great story, and then hand them, and I think it was 6 pieces of gum, it was either 6 or 5. After that, they would then say to the children, then they would talk to those kids about handicapped children. And they would be shown a picture of a handicapped child. And then they would say, if you'd like to share some of your gum with or donate some of your gum to a handicapped child, you can put your gum over there. Now, what was interesting is if a child had been randomized to talk about Santa and had told a story about Santa, they gave away on average 3.6 pieces of gum. They didn't actually give half a piece of gum, James. Some would give a little more, some would give a little.
It would not surprise me if the child bit off 40% of one piece.
Exactly. But if they would give 3.6 if they had been talking about Santa Claus, but if they had been talking about the Easter Bunny or pets that they wanted to have or had, they would give away 1.3 to 1.6 pieces. That was statistically different.
So you're talking 2 more pieces of gum.
I know.
Now, I would say that's clinically significant.
That is a clinically significant gum donation.
Yes.
And we're working on defining that right now. It's clinically significant. The last piece is, can you invoke Santa to get good behavior out of your kids as an adult? Can you say, well, if you're not good, Santa won't come, etc.? And it's not entirely clear that that does work. Some parents were asked and they were kind of all over the map whether they thought that it was of any benefit at all. It didn't stop them from continuing to say those words, but they weren't sure it was working.
Oh, no, because by the time you're getting to use Santa in a coercive way, you've tried everything else.
You've given up, really.
You've given up. So you're just going with Santa because that's the last card that you have in your deck.
Apart from phoning the police.
Yeah, yeah. As you know, the tough love. You're still going to go do Santa, then police.
That's my parenting style.
Mm-hmm.
The next question we asked is, and you may or may not have done this, James, with your kids, but taking your kids to the mall, and are children excited to visit Santa in the mall?
It's great. I think, you know, many of us sort of do it. I'll be honest, I'm going to be completely grinchy. I'm not a big fan of all of that sort of stuff. I mean, I love the concept of family getting together, but Santa in the mall makes me sad.
Now, James, do you feel the need at this point to talk about some of the bad experiences you've had visiting Santa yourself in the mall?
I can't. The guy is actually, he may be arrested soon, so I've got to leave it at that.
You got in another drunken fight with Santa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're laughing, but it is sad, mm-hmm. really.
Yes,
for Santa, not so much for you. Right. So this was a study that there were actually individual studies, but done over 5 years, repeated five times over 5 years. So really, we thought it was almost like a 5-year study. Exactly the same thing. a guy would sit in a separate room, or sorry, not a separate room, but quite away from where the kids were lined up. And then he used a rating scale, which is often used for kind of rating distress in kids. And that's used mostly for pain, but it can be used for this kind of thing. And then he tried to, using the kids' facial expressions, tried to rate their happiness, if you will. And what he found was that 58 to 82% of the children scored indifference or worse waiting to see Santa.
Which is not, I don't know about your experience, but every time I go into those lines, I don't see a lot of kids really thrilled.
No, no, they're not thrilled. And no. There's all sorts of biases that may be there, and we'll talk about those in just a minute. But that rating scale, for example, it's really used more for pain and that kind of thing than it hasn't been truly assessed for Santa. It was only one observer as well, and so that there might be an interpretation bias there. One thing that he did note was that as people got closer to Christmas, or as we got closer to Christmas, the happiness scores generally increased. So when he looked at kids 1 week before Christmas, the happiness was 30 to 37% of them were happy, versus 4 weeks before, or just right after Thanksgiving for in the U.S., that was 10 to 16% were happy. So there was definitely a shift. And probably the most interesting finding was that parents were likely to be happy while the children weren't. So the average parent, 82 to 93% of parents would be rated as happy versus 6 to 37% of kids.
Which is really sad, isn't it? I mean, we're sort of living our lives through our children.
Yeah. Well, here's an important point that isn't addressed in this study. We don't know the mall that this researcher went to. Were the kids lining up to see Santa, or were they lining up to see a man in a Santa suit?
Oh, because we don't know. There's no indication from the study whether it was the real Santa.
No, okay. never clarified, never even addressed really as one of the potential biases, and I think probably one of the most relevant biases. Yeah. What if the children knew?
Yeah, exactly.
And they knew that they were, let's say, lining up to not see the real Santa.
Yeah.
Maybe they wouldn't be excited.
And just, you know, interact with a relatively older man.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, you know what I like about this, you know, when we have someone with your evidence appraisal experience, you pull these things out that I think most people would not out of a study.
I know. Yeah. I can get to the heart of the science.
Oh, very nice.
Science. I'm blinding you with science.
Yeah. Oh, God. And just in case anyone is wondering, we were doing this podcast as a Christmas present to everyone. And we will not be surprised if you return it.
Let's talk about the next question. And that is, again, and I don't want to load this statement that Santa is or is not real, but some children will stop believing in Santa Claus.
Really?
None of the children doing this podcast have, but some children will. And the question is, when does that occur? So there have been studies of this very question dating back well over 100 years. The first one was in 1896.
There you go.
And to 1897, the ranges for those were anywhere between where the average...
To 1987.
Yeah, sorry, 1987. Yeah. So the point where that transition occurs is generally somewhere between 6.4 and 8.3 years. And you can kind of guesstimate it somewhere around 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are three subsequent studies, and they all show the same kind of numbers. They report it differently, but it's always that transition time somewhere in there. Age is by far the strongest predictor of belief, but there are some things that can encourage belief. One of them is parents who had a belief that lasted beyond age 10. Children of those parents are more likely to believe for longer. And if there's strong parental encouragement, so lots of encouragement, like the leaving out...
Like reinforcement of the belief.
Reinforcement.
Yeah.
That can actually encourage belief to persist longer.
That's pretty much, that applies to virtually any belief. If you just keep reinforcing it and, you know, distorting sort of the process, that's going to happen.
Like your, and I don't even want to call it a belief, your acknowledgement, your certainty of the Sasquatch.
Exactly. Yeah. No. I mean, or my belief that healthcare providers will really start to use evidence soon.
Same kind of same strength of belief system.
Yeah.
Same foundation of evidence.
Exactly.
Things that don't seem to matter are the gender of the kids and whether they're kids who have more kind of fantasy thinking. So maybe imaginary friends, imaginary plays, like that kind of thing.
Which is interesting because you'd have thought it might, but then you also go, you know, when children have imaginary friends, I would imagine most of them know that they're imaginary. You know what I mean? No, I don't think you meant that quite seriously.
Do you know your friends are imaginary?
Just the ones that live on my shoulder.
No, this is very interesting research. And the transition is a gradual one for over half of the kids. And they kind of report they figure it out on their own. So there's no epiphany occurring per se.
Yeah, you know, it's just sort of, like you said, it's sort of a gradual, you know, they start to put one and one together and go, my parents are lying.
But we don't know whether that's true, James. I want to reinforce that. We don't know. Kids might not believe, but it doesn't mean that Santa is real. Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. The last question that we tried to address. Oh, an important feature of this is that the research was not all done around Christmas. Some of that research that I've just listed for you was done in the summer, early fall, and some even done around Easter, which is formerly known as bunny bias.
Yeah, it's not uncommon to see that in these sorts of studies.
Mm-hmm. Bunny bias.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always creeping in there.
Yeah. Or hopping in there.
That's right. It jumps in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's, before we kill that anymore, let's move on to the last thing. Are children upset when they change their belief system? And it turns out that children are actually very minimally distressed transitioning to disbelief. So when they did some work with kids who were at that transition stage, they found that their emotional ratings were less than 10% intensity. And in fact, many of them were positive. They felt quite a relief at being able to, or proud of being able to figure something out. And parents are the ones that are negatively affected. So when asked to rate what mood kind of fits best with your feeling about this, 40% said they were sad versus 6% saying they were glad.
Yeah, which I think is because you can see both sides of that story.
Yeah, for sure.
One, you don't have to continue doing it. And then two, my children are growing up.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. And it is a very, for those of us who are parents, we know that that transition is often far more difficult on us, them growing up, than for the kids themselves. So, and then some children were asked some other questions to try and draw out how they felt about, you know, their belief in Santa Claus. Most children feel future children should be encouraged to believe in Santa, and only 8% of kids who had switched and transitioned to disbelieving felt that they would not teach their own children about Santa. Most felt they would, and a few were indifferent at this stage, but only 8% were quite sure they wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I find the entire concept of us, of how we sort of make the whole thing of, you know, the Easter Bunny and Santa and the Tooth Fairy and all of those different things, it's really interesting from a societal perspective why we do that. And I don't know if anyone can really answer it, but it's really interesting, and I'm sure it's definitely multifactorial, and it's very, very much driven from a commercial perspective for many of those things. So it's really just, it's sort of like the perfect storm.
Yeah.
It self-perpetuates itself.
And there are so many strong opinions in the literature. What we presented to you were our research studies, but the vast majority of publications out there are not research related.
Yeah.
They're opinion pieces around this. So we have some additional insight, James, around this. And one of them is that while some people may find it hard to believe that there's a being that travels the entire globe, visiting children all over the world in a single night. Mm-hmm. It may also seem unbelievable that academics are paid to do this kind of research.
It's hard to know which one is more unbelievable.
Precisely.
And it just always brings up the line I always use. I'm a tenured professor and I can do whatever I want and you have to pay for it. That's everyone's present to me.
That's right. Because you need another present.
Exactly.
All right, so let's just sum up what we've learned. Santa is linked to kindness, specifically in children, although they really don't like waiting in line to see him at the mall, it seems. Mm-hmm. Children who stop believing in Santa often do so around age 7, and parents seem more bothered by this than the children.
And I think we need to put the caveat to all of this. This is real research, for one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we were very gentle, if you will, in our evidence appraisal this time
for
this information, because there's so many, you know, the different fallacies and biases that could come into this sort of stuff. But we just thought you guys would have some fun with looking at this. As always, this is the best available evidence. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best evidence. It's just the best available evidence that we have for this particular topic.
Right, and let me sum it up by one simple statement. Mm-hmm. Just because some children stop believing in Santa does not mean he doesn't exist. Some people don't believe in evidence-based medicine, yet here we are.
You know, that it just makes me want to go watch a, you know, Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Now, interesting, which one are you in Charlie Brown's Christmas? Which kid are you?
I'm the Grinch.
Or are you the teacher?
No, I'm the Grinch. Even though I know you know that that character is not in there.
No, he's not in there. Yeah. I was guessing you would waffle between Pigpen or Charlie himself.
No, if I had to choose, I'd be the tree.
that miserable, sad little tree of
his. That everybody takes, you know, it grows to love.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No matter how
pathetic.
Much of an eyesore.
Yes, exactly.
How repellent that tree is.
You started off well. I thought this was going to be a fun, happy one.
I just wanted to give you something for Christmas.
You did. Yeah, no, that's great. No, this is great stuff. This is fun evidence to have a look at. And, you know, given that it's Christmas, I think it'd be very inappropriate if we tried to sell anything like our courses that are coming up or the tools for practice. So we won't even mention those.
Yeah, no, or our T-shirts, which are available 2 for $19.99.
Are they? Yes.
Make a great Christmas gift.
Yeah. We don't have any T-shirts yet. We're thinking about it. So hopefully you guys found that useful. And there is a tools for practice on this, Mike.
That's right. This tools for practice was written by the – I did the beginning
of the work.
But all of us contributed to it, and yeah, it's been published as of today. If you're downloading it right away, December 19th.
Awesome.
So it's also there for you to go take a gander at if you're interested.
So happy holidays to everyone, and thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.